It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. There's plenty of seats up front, but hurry up before the seats be taken. All right, we're going to go ahead and begin our study together today. I hope that you have came for that purpose, that is to rightly divide the word of truth. We're going to move on a little bit, amen, with this. But we're going to take our time, amen, amen. All right, go ahead and begin. We want to continue to pray for our unfaithful members. Because you know we're here today because not we're so good, amen, but by the grace of God. First of all, he woke us up this morning, didn't he? And gave a reasonable portion of our health and our strength. And then the second of all, a lot of us had breakfast. You ate something this morning, amen. And then the last thing about it, amen, that he allowed us to be with the saints of God one more time. And to God we just give all the glory, amen. All right, I hope you got your sheet, How Sin Develops. It's up on the thing there. Should have it in your book, James chapter 1. We talked about that formula, temptation equal desire plus opportunity. Temptation. And what we're striving to do, here we go again. We're striving to be blessed, amen, verse 12. That we may endure temptation, because we're going to pass the test, amen. And when we pass the test, we're going to receive a crown of life based on the promise. And guess who made that promise? Jesus Christ. And then let no man say, we are tempted, I am tempted of God, but God not going to be tempted with evil, neither tempted he every man. But verse 14, he talked about, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Lust, desire, that brings forth opportunity. That brings about that word temptation. Then verse 15, the second phase is sin itself. When desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. It becomes sin when we act, submit to the temptation, that is that desire, that lust. Sin involves the added step of some sort of action on our part. Then at that point, it brings forth death. Verse 15 said, then when desire, lust has conceived, when desire or lust has conceded, when desire or lust has conceded, it brings forth sin. See, that conceded is the action that is, that comes about when lust is there, because we let opportunity bring its course. And when it's finished, it brings forth death. Now, I'm not in that word death there. And the reason why I want you to underline that word death is because that death could be two-faced death. It could be, I know it's a spiritual death, amen, but also it could bring physical death, amen. How many people do we know because of this very formula here, relationship to desire come to bring forth opportunity when temptation comes and when it is conceded, that is, it brings forth the act of sin, and sin when it's finished, it brings forth death. I mean, sometimes we just need to think about it. Think about Doris and I went to Montgomery on yesterday. We were riding down 65, and we lived in Montgomery for a while, and we began to say, well, that's Fairview Avenue, and that's Edgemont Avenue. And I began to look at all those avenues that when I was in the Air Force down there, boy, it brought back some memories, some good and some bad. I'm not going to get into it because we all have sin. And falling short of the glory of God. Amen. But have you ever, sir? Thank for the grace of God. Amen. Well, you know, this is not Bible, but they say God take care of fools and babies. Now, you can't find that way in the word of God. Amen. But a man in sin is a fool. Amen. And God do take care of babies. Amen. In relationship. But a lot of us can look at what we're seeing here in relationship to desire. That comes about that the opportunity to prevail when it conceived, it brings forth sin and death. And a lot of us, when you look at the word death, man, we need to say, let the church say amen, amen. Because a lot of us have been in vicarious situations, amen, in relationship to understanding what is the will of God in relationship to that fact, in relationship to sin bringing forth death. And now, one more thing before we move on. a lot of time when we read this here and understand, because a lot of people singing, right? But they don't know what brings it about. See, a lot of us are born. See, we're born with lust, what is good or what is bad. See, we can see we're born with lust. See, lust we learn how to control, whether it's good or whether it's bad. But see, a lot of people don't understand what he's saying here in verse 4, 13, 14, 15 in relationship to that desire, that opportunity. When we are tried, when it is conceived, it brings forth sin. And then sin brings forth death. You know, if you had a piece of paper, this is where I would write it, just for my own memorization. Number one, that is, temptation equals desire plus opportunity that brings about conception, conceiving, then sin, and then death. I was just looking at those words. That is that desire, opportunity, conceive, sin, and death. Just those five words, see. But before those five words can mean anything to us in our life, you know what? We have to examine ourselves and be truthful with ourselves. Because a lot of times with sin, most people are just not truthful. I mean, people commit sin, but we try to justify sin. I mean, it's like people say, people not called homosexuals anymore. They say it's a choice of life. It's a lifestyle style choice that people make. They don't look at it in relationship to what the Bible says in Romans 1 is an abomination. It's unnatural. It's unnatural affection. See, we look at sin differently now. See, we look at sin differently than the way the Bible looks at sin. And the reason why we do that is because we don't make our conscience feel better. I mean, people don't want to walk around and say, I'm an abomination. I mean, they don't want to say it's unnatural if that's your lifestyle, if that's what you choose to be. Those are just two negative words. But to say it's a choice that I make, it's a lifestyle that I choose to make, it sounds better. And see, people look at adultery. It's not as committing adultery, but they look at it in a different way. They don't have to justify for what they want to do. People don't say, well, I steal on my income tax by claiming people that I do not claim where the government owe it to me. You know? See, the government owe it to me. They don't look at it as being wrong. They don't look at the law. They say that someone had to live in your home a certain period of time. And all the requirements before you can claim somebody as a deductible. See, they don't look at that. They look at people already asking for 2014 or 2014. Well, who can I claim? Because, see, people are looking at the end result. You know, the end result as to what they can get. So people want to justify. See, they don't want to look at it in relation to 13, 14, and 15, what sin does in relationship to desire, opportunity, conception, then sin, and then finally, sin brings forth death. There's a lot of people in the church today going to go to worship today. They're dead as they want to be. Because sin is in their life. Sin is in the church. Sin is in the camp. See, in John 9:31, what sin is, God is not. Amen. In relationship to understanding what is the will of the Lord, that is that they may know that they are doing something wrong. See, and then try to justify to make it right, but justification don't make it right if it still violates the word of God. See, and that's the point that a lot of people do not understand. So verse 15 again, then when lust, desire, has conceived, we act on it, amen. You don't have to act on it, amen. You can stop it, amen. You can stop it. See, what's going to happen? It brings forth sin. And by the word sin, write 1 John 3:4. Write James 4:17. And write Hebrews 10:26. Hebrews 10:26. See, 1 John 3:4. James 4:17 and Hebrews 10:26. If we sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. And the reason why we sin willfully after receiving the knowledge of truth is because literally we don't know what sin is. We don't understand those five words the way you're saying in 13, 14, 15. Because if you know what sin is and how sin is derived, see, and what sin is and how the devil deal with sin, number one, the question we may ask, well, will we sin with them? Will we sin with them? If you understood it, verse 13, 14, 15. If you knew what lust were, if you knew the opportunity that we put ourselves in. See, we put ourselves in situations whereby we lust is there. Amen. See, because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. And because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we all have thorns in the flesh. And you know yours and I know mine. Amen. But the only thing with a thorn in the flesh, it never go away. We just learn how to control it. It never leaves you. It's always going to be there, and it's going to be there till Jesus come. Amen. But you don't let it control you. You control it. I know what mine is. I know what mine is. Maybe more than one. Amen. I know it. But see, I don't let it control me. I control it. So therefore, I don't go around opportunities that I know that can stir it up. Amen. The Bible said, come ye out from among them. Be ye separate, said the Lord. So I stay away from those things. See, it's like grinding down 65. Well, there's that Fairview. There's Edgemount. See, you remember this, Dar, going down the Southern Bypass. Look, and you begin to look. See, all those are bad memories to me. See, going across Narrow Lane Road, I begin to think. See? So the whole point I'm saying, you see what I'm saying? And you can say the same thing. Those are opportunities that maybe I shouldn't have been there because that principle is still right. What you sow is what you're going to reap, amen? Is that right or wrong? See, so those opportunities that you need to learn how, because see, once sin is conceived, see, it's going to bring forth death. See, it's going to kill you, whether it may be spiritual or physically. Hope it don't kill you physically, amen? See, hope it can just be a spiritual death until God's grace work, and God's grace will give you opportunity to give you a mindset of understanding. You understand what I'm saying? So that you can say, well, now, because I know better, see, I'm going to repent and let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse me and get rid of it. Go ahead, brother. You see what I mean? See, that's the point I'm saying. See, God is long-suffering toward us, amen. Not willing that any of us would perish, but that we come to our repentance. And somewhere in that dash, you know what that dash of life is? See, in that dash of life, understanding going to come there, that repentance going to come, that you're going to be cleansed, or you're going to be forgiven, so you can learn how to control it. You with me? So let me give them to you one more time. Listen to me. Write them down. Remember them. Memorize them. Amen. See, I just love words. I'm still just feasting on Brother Chamberlain's sermon. Amen. Sacrifice, the blood, the detail. That meant so much to me. I've been meditating on it all week, amen. I listened to that sermon 3 or 4 times because, see, we all got to make sacrifices, amen, because Jesus did, amen. The blood that he shed, amen. But we got to do it by the details of the Bible. Am I right? And just those 3 words just meant so much to me, you know. That in life, if we're going to be obedient. See, our sacrifice has got to be a sweet-smelling favor. See, we just can't give him anything and accept it to be all right. If you want the blood of Jesus Christ, do the details of the Bible. Here we go again. Let me give them to you. We're going to move on. Number one, you got to know what desire is. Lust. That brings, know what your opportunity is. See, don't fester desire by being in an opportunity, or don't put desire in an opportunity that you know you're going to lose with. Amen? Because it ain't going to happen. See, come on. You've been there, and then you know you're in a bad situation? We all have been that way, haven't we? See, sin, desire, opportunity, conception. See, sin, lust, opportunity, conceive, sin, and then eventually it will bring forth death. And guess what? It's going to happen every time. Because you can't get around it. It's just a fact of life. That's the reason why I go to me in 2 Corinthians. right quick, then we're going to move on. Second Corinthians 6. See, mark this one. See, go to 2 Corinthians 6:14, he talks about being not unequally yoked. See, these are opportunities, right? That make lust flare up. He said, why are these things happening to me? Well, here you are. You're unequally yoked. You with somebody you ain't got no business being with. Amen. You hear me tell a story about when I first obeyed the gospel. My cousin Mike and Skip. I had to come out from among them. Amen. Ain't no way in the world, Melanie, I would have stayed faithful to the Lord hanging around with those old boys. I just wouldn't have done it. That's been over 35 years, and guess what? Skip's still crazy. I'm with him another week. He still ain't got good sense. So how in the world I'm going to survive to be a Christian, to be spiritual, when I'm yoked with somebody who, every time I'm around him, it's going to be a bad opportunity. Right? So he says here, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for a fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness. Yeah, we need to underline those words, righteousness versus unrighteousness. And then I like to make it personal. Put me, righteous, right? Now, who in your life is unrighteous? They're going to call you to be yoked. See, unequal. Is that a good question? See, make it personal, y'all. That's the only way the Bible going to mean something to you is when you make it personal. Don't take these scriptures and just read them and say, okay. But make them personal. I'm righteous, am I right? Now, who in my life is unrighteous that going to cause me to be what? Unyoked. See, you know who it is. See, because see, you're not going to never be able to get rid of conception and lust and sin and death until you know the root of the problem. Amen. See, when you're studying during the week, you can take a scripture like this here. This is one scripture. And get you a pad and get by yourself and you just can begin to just make notes. Who is the unrighteous in my life? I know I'm righteous. Now, who are the unrighteous? And you literally need to put them down so you can see it. You can know who they are. Know what it is. Amen. They're causing you to be yoked with the unbeliever. Because see, if you never identify who they are, well, how are you going to solve the problem? And that's a lot of times what we don't want to do. You know why we don't want to do? Because we hate to disturb conscience. We just want to keep things status quo. Don't rock the boat. Everything going all right. Pay my light bill. Pay my water bill. Got some gas. Got something to eat. I'm flowing pretty good. Me and my wife ain't arguing none this week. But guess what? Who's watching? The devil. Amen. See, he's sitting back watching. Because he know as long as you never identify the unrighteous, if you never identify the culprit, if you don't never identify the one who is causing you to lust or put you in a bad opportunity, because see, he know because you won't identify that you're not going to be able to handle conception. You're not going to be able to do it. He know that. Because number one, 1 Corinthians 6:19, if you want to write that down, he know if you won't identify who the unrighteous is, you ain't putting nothing in the temple. Know you not that your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. He know you ain't doing it. He know you're not studying every day. He know you're not doing it. See, he know you're not coming to church. See, he know that. I'm talking about the devil, amen. And when, because the devil know that, he just sitting back, wait. So when you look at that verse there, hey, just take that one verse this week. Don't go no further, that one verse, and be truthful with yourself. See, you may put your wife's name down or your husband's name. You better be careful. See, I could be your own name because, see, you might not fit the righteous category of it. Amen. Y'all with me? See, that's what Scripture's for. See, that's really why you come to evaluate. You come to examine. You're coming to correct the wrong. Because we all have sin. There's not a perfect person in here today. See, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We're here. We're here today to do all five items. That's why he said, that's the, when the whole church come together in one place. See, it take a whole village. I like what your sister be saying on FacePlay. When she be talking about it takes a whole village. When she put on that other day, she wanted to congratulate her son Chauncey for making the dean's list. And then she pushed that, it takes a whole village. Because she knew, she didn't do it by herself. I mean, you had some part of it. Your mama had some part of it. The whole family had some part. Have raised that boy to be what he is today. It takes a whole village, amen. See, that's the reason why when the whole church come together in one place. See, we're coming together, the whole church, to encourage and to be on one another, amen. Am I right? See, in order for us to what? Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is a work in progress here. See, you say, boy, he spent a lot of time on this here. You know why? Because that's the problem. What's wrong with the world today? Y'all didn't know that? It's not an economic thing. See? It's not a meltdown. It's not a Republican. It's not a Democrat. You know what the problem in this world today is? Sin. The whole problem with the world, the school system, is sin. See? That's what the problem with homes today. Sin. You don't have godly men no more. You don't have godly mothers no more. You don't have virtuous women no more. Amen. I was at the stoplight the other day over here on 3rd Avenue, and a guy next to me had his radio up so loud, it was just, I started to run the red light. I bet I heard five times names that this rap song talking about a lady. Calling women out their names. I mean, it was so bad, literally, I said, Darn, my wife was in the car. I said, Dar, I can't take this no more. You know, and I couldn't back out because somebody was behind me, but I was scared to run the red light because I didn't want a ticket, but it was just so awful. But you think, young people hear this all day, every day. As a man thinking in his heart, so be he, amen? So when we come here, this is what we come here for. We come here to learn how to correct. To right or wrong. Because life sometimes get tough. Me? Don't it get tough? Amen. It get tough. We live in a terrible world today. Amen. It's not going to get no better. It's going to get worse. So the only thing that we who are Christians have is that we have to learn how to take the word and make the word work for us. See, it don't make sense to have the word. It don't make sense to have the perfect law of liberty when the law of liberty ain't doing you no good. See? It's like, what good is winning, having $1 million and don't know what to do with it? Saw on the news the other day, George T. broke. Man, look at all the millions of dollars he made to play pro ball. They did a little documentary of him today on Fox 6 News. I mean, millions of dollars he made. Millions of dollars. And right now, he's back in Alabama, don't have a job, and broke. See, what good will all that he had did him? Well, can't do him if you don't know what to do with it. How can you make it work when you don't know the game? When you don't know the money game? You don't know how to make it work? That's a losing proposition. That's the same thing with spirituality. What good coming to church, see, and coming to Sunday school when you can't take nothing with you to make you no better? It don't do you no good. So when I say, well, look at those words, lust. Look at those words. Look at those words, opportunity. Look at the word, conception, sin. It'll kill you. It may not kill you physically, but it'll make you so miserable, it'll make you mumble under your voice, I wish I'd never seen them. I hate you. This job just get on my nerves. Can't stand it. Tomorrow is Monday. I sure don't want to go. Amen. It'll make your mind get that way. simply because we let the Bible work against us instead of for us. See, and that's the reason why I'm saying, when he says, look back here, where he says here, again, be ye not equally yoked together with unbelievers, what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness. Better word, light, righteousness, you write your name. And then, underline, who are the unbelievers? See, who is unrighteous? Who is darkness? You know who it is. You know, just tell the truth. That's assignment. Get you a piece of paper. Get you a yellow pad. Go to the dollar store. You can get them $35. Get small ones and big ones. Read around. No, gonna buy them all the time. And I go through them. Because I make notes all the time. Did it with me. I don't deal with my wife. I deal with me. Now, sometimes I talk to my wife about it. But see, I can't help her until I get myself straight. Because the blind can't lead the blind. That's a fact of life. You can't very well tell somebody else how to be spiritual when you're not spiritual. See, so I got to start with me first and understand who's the righteous, who's the unrighteous, who's the light, and who's the darkness, to make sure that I'm not unequally yoked. Now, you may ask the question, you may say, well, what if I'm unequally yoked together with the unbeliever? Well, God's grace is there. Once you know you are, you can straighten it out. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us, and the blood of Jesus. See, the blood of Jesus will cleanse you and straighten it out. But see, you ain't going to get straightened out until truth is there. Because you can't get straightened out without truth. There's nowhere in the world people, denominationalism, get straightened out. Because you can't get straightened out with wrong. It breaks down the law of reciprocity of the sowing process. See, you can't sow wrong and be right. There's no way. You can't do it. See, you can't sow wrong and be right. There's no way. There's no way you could be wrong and do it another way other than the way and be right. It ain't gonna happen. It just breaks down the law of reciprocity. That is the sowing process. What goes up goes down. See, it's just a fact of life. Something go up, got to come back down. It's not gonna stop halfway. It's just the law. See, you ain't going to get around that. See, a lot of times we want to be slick, and we think we're being slick and getting over on God. You ain't getting over on God. You're fooling yourself. But what you sow, you're going to reap it. It's just a fact of life. See, for every action, there's a reaction. Whether it's good or whether it's bad. See, it's just a fact of life. Like the old folks say, you go around the block. Some folks keep going around, but sooner or later, somebody going to knock you down. Something going to knock you down. And that something is sin. Go ahead, my brother. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. He's talking about, oh, if 2 Corinthians 12, you might want to write that down, 8 and 9. See, tell all that in. That's a good example, ain't it? Then we ain't got a good example? Look what Paul said here in 12:8. He said, need to read the whole chapter. He said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. But Fred, you think he was concerned about it? Do you think that he was concerned about the well-being of his situation? Another question about that. At this time when Paul wrote this here in 12:8, was Paul still endowed with the miraculous indwelling of the Holy Spirit? Oh, yeah. See, he still had the miraculous indwelling of the Holy Spirit, amen, but he still had a what? Sin problem. Y'all see me? Now you think about this here. If the Apostle Paul, who had been baptized was endowed with the miraculous indwelling of the Holy Spirit, if the Apostle Paul wrestled with a lust opportunity or sin problem, how much more you and I going to be? We all have sin. We all have sin. Amen. See, Jesus didn't die for perfection. He died for imperfection. Like people say, well, my marriage is perfect. Ain't no marriage perfect. What makes you think your marriage perfect? Oh, I got a perfect, you know, people, I got a perfect child. It must be a robot. Ain't nothing perfect in life, folks. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all hear people say that? See? Ain't nothing perfect. But see, that's what the devil wants you to think, that it is perfect. It ain't nothing perfect. Listen, folks, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We need each other now more than we ever needed before. We need faith for brothering now. We need strong leaders in the church now than we ever needed. We need strong men in the home. We need men going to be husbands and be the head of their home and stand up and be a man. Amen. Now more. Amen. I mean, who want a sorry man? I hear women talking about, well, a piece of man. Are you crazy? Who want a piece of? I don't want a piece of sandwich. Give me a whole sandwich. Oh, it make me mad. Somebody say, you want a piece? Then you break me a little cone off. Don't let it be good. That's lust all the way around. Hey, brother, what you thinking about jumping on and taking it, ain't you? Y'all ain't never been there. You sit there and watch that man eat that sandwich until he make the last chew. And every time he... you want some of it. Y'all ain't never saw that. I guess I'm not about to greet us. Y'all won't tell the truth about peace and stuff. Go ahead, Paul. That's the point. That's right. But see, here we go again. That's a good point you made. How can I look at myself? Well, number one, I don't want to be truthful to myself. See, the problem is that a lot of us don't want to be identified to be wrong. See, that's the reason why, here we go again, the world is using positive phrases. See, I ain't never heard phrases like this here. Non-ageist. Non-sexist. See, you got to learn how to say the proper thing. See, Mr. Obama, the lady were pretty. She's a very attractive woman. When I saw it, and I don't think they said that she's a pretty woman. See, she's one of the most prettiest attorney generals in the nation. He has the right to say that. But man, when he said that, that's non-sexist remark. You don't want to talk that way. See, that's the way the world is getting. You know, that's a shame when I can't look at Ashley and say, Ashley, you're a pretty girl. See, now if I was a supervisor and Ashley worked for me, and I walked up to Ashley and said, Ashley, you are very pretty. Lawyer, time to sue. See, because see, managers and supervisors don't want to talk like that. Is that right, brother? See, you can get in trouble, or they can sue you by saying you're using sexist remarks. See, I laughed about that communication class I took me over that lawsuit. an elder lady taught the class. And she came to me one day. She says, Mr. Lyles, she says, I'm not going to teach this class the way you want me to teach it. She said, I'm going to teach it just the way the book, even though you don't like it. And I just laughed at her because I thought it was so funny. But every time in there, she said, negative words, positive words. And she was trying to teach us how to talk. And I was like, rawr, rawr. I said, like, rawr. And I sat on the front row, you know. She saw me, rawr. I think, oh, that's crazy. This is my opinion, right? Because it contradicts God's word. You understand what I'm saying? But that's the way the world wants us to think in order to justify our conscience in relationship to violate Ephesians chapter 5, to violate this principle, violate this principle. But here you go again. See, until we first of all realize through those five words, right, what lust is, right? That is, opportunity is, am I right? To conceive, right? Sin and death. Guess what? We ain't gonna never. Paul would have never made that statement. Paul would have never made. You know what? Paul could have said, do you know who I am? Couldn't he? He could have said that. Man, Paul was a very educated man. Am I right? Am I right? See, Paul was something else. Am I right? Knowledge might wise. Am I right? See, he could have said, mm-mm. But he knew. He knew. And then go back and look at that, 12:8. You know, it would seem like Paul would have known that God's grace was sufficient. Why would he even ask the Lord to remove it thrice from him? I'm serious. As many books Paul wrote, as much as Paul wrote, like Paul would have knew how to deal with it. Go ahead, brother. Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? You know another thing too. Didn't Jesus in John 17? He was the Son of God. And he was part divine too, right? But still the human side kicked in, didn't it? That is, he said, see, Jesus knew before he even left heaven what he was coming down here for. To be made a little lower than the angels in order to, you understand what I'm saying? But still John 17, the human side kicked in with Jesus, didn't it? Because Jesus thought about that cross, didn't he? He said, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup do what? That's the human side, right? See, that's the human side. And that same thing I think with Paul. Paul had been through so much. Shipwreck, beat, see, snakes, stoned to death, shipwreck. See, the human side, and that human side, see, sometimes in life, I don't care how strong you are, how spiritual you are, enough is enough. You know what I'm talking about? See, enough is enough. See, because then you got that human side that is battling, amen? The flesh and the spirit is a constant battle, isn't it? See, and I think, too, that may be a point, not that maybe Paul might not knew, you know, what sin was or what to do. It just sometime in life, you just sit back and evaluate and you just shake your head. You say, well, Lord, how much more do I need to go through? Y'all know what I'm talking about? See, go ahead, brother. All divine. Well, I meant to say part of him was divine. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Right. Well, the scripture, you can look it up. It said, he had to taste all forms in order for him to be the great high priest. Because, see, he had to go to it to go to be the high priest in order to atone one more time. Because, see, his atoning wasn't going to be but one time. See, he'd have to go in year after year. See, when he entered in one time and the blood was offered, when he was that lamb, innocent lamb, shed in the blood shed. See, he atoned, he paid for it all. So you look at people, I saw a church in Birmingham said the anointed few. See, they don't understand. See, and that's the whole point. Go ahead, my brother. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Man after God's own heart. I never understood. Yeah. Well, say it again. Yeah, I know. Right. That's right. Then you better add to it that where study come in. So see, study gives you understanding. When you got understanding, you can make the right choices. There you go. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly so it can teach you, so it can admonish you. See, that's the reason why. See, when the whole church come together in one place, see, that's the importance of doing it. Because this is a work in progress. Amen. See, it wouldn't hurt us if we came every day. And it still wouldn't be enough. If you knew what you was up against. If we was up against. Now, you think about this here, and then we're going to close the lesson. Think about those who never study. Those who never come. Those who never partake. Now, what you think they going through? So, let me get on 5 words. Here we go again. And that's going to be it. Desire, opportunity, fail to do, bring about conception, then we sin, and then it's over. You're dead. Amen. So, you ever want to know why you sowing the way you sowing? You're dead. and ain't nothing gonna good happen to you. I can't put it no other way. Now, the devil can bless you temporarily. He'll give you temporary blessings. He'll dang a thing at you temporarily. But let me tell you something, he'll snatch it right back to you. You remember David, you brought that up, didn't you? Guess what? When David had sin with Bathsheba, David could have stopped it right there. You know why David didn't want to stop it? Because he knew the penalty. Are you going to get Jesus? Okay, let's pray together. Blessed Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank thee for all thy many blessings. Be with us as we go into continue worship thy service. In Jesus' name we say together, amen. All right, brother, we need you downstairs. He's going to get Brother Jesus.